think Tevez going to Juventus, what a coup that was for me. I mean,
on a head-to-head battle, Atletico Madrid can do more damage to Barcelona than the other way around.
Either he's really blind or he's fixing the match. I can't see it any other way.
I'm trying to get Sir Bob on my side here by saying City will win the Premier League.
It is an upset. You would expect Man United to go and win there.
Over $1 billion was paid in transfer fees between the clubs in Europe.
It's football. It's damn football. Like Ferguson said, football. Bloody marvellous.
Yeah, well, the celebration was, I can't believe I just scored against Mexico.
At one point, Parma, I think it's only like 224 players under contract.
So they're going to throw me out of here, fellas. You're going to get me arrested on your show.
If you're a serious talent, you're going back and you're playing for Santos. You know, you're going back to play for, like in Argentina, for River Plate or Boca Juniors. Or you're going to Europe.
He looked like the Ryan Giggs of old. He was more creative than any player on the pitch. He made Mata look stupid. He made Rooney look silly.
Now, the Premier League is the most exciting league out there. I think it's probably the best marketed league without a question.
When you look at the draw for the Champions League, you kind of say, well, all the pieces kind of fell into place for everybody except City.
I am your host, Joe Uccello.
Sir Bob, Mike Orr. My co-host, Rob Rojas.
My trusted co-host, Ben the Machine.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 244 of Low Limit Football on this 27th of May, 2019, on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight, the top five leagues are done and dusted with plenty of drama in Italy as Atalanta and Inter secure the final two Champions League spots, leaving Milan out in the cold. We now turn our focus to Champions Week in Europe as we get ready for an all-England final in the Champions League and Europa League. But from a fan's perspective tonight, joining me as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest, Liverpool supporter Dan Duomena, and Tottenham supporter Jack Knorr from D&D Football Factory. Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining us. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit of a change from the normal for us. We are going to do more of a give and go. There's going to be no trivia tonight, no opening thoughts. We're just going to talk about the Champions League and Europa League tonight. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining us. And we're going to start for the Europa League, just to give our quick two-minute perspective on it. Rob, I want to throw it over to you and get your thoughts on the matchup coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it's another big matchup. As we said, we are going to have two all-English ties in European competition. But this one is really interesting because you have two teams from the same city, you know, Arsenal, Chelsea, two teams who are coming into different perspectives. Among the favorites, actually, at the beginning, if you recall, when the draw was corrected, to actually be in this position. But now we have a big rate of match coming up. A bit of controversy as well, the fact that, you know, you're going to see some key players missing from this, like Andrew Mkhitaryan, who not make it into Baku in Azerbaijan due to political reasons. And obviously, you know, from a Chelsea perspective, you have the injury of N'Golo Kante, who's going to be very, very important for this Chelsea side. But it's going to be really fun to see what happens here. I personally think if you would have to favor it to one team, oh, man, it's tough. I think it's going to be more favored to Chelsea. I think Eden Hazard's playing absolutely incredible this season. I think he'll be influential maybe in his last game and in a Chelsea shirt. And I think for Maurizio Sarri, probably his last game as Chelsea manager. So maybe I would favor Chelsea in this one if I had to pick a winner, but it's still going to be a very, very interesting game. That's going to be easy to say there.
Now, Dan, I'm gonna come over to you first because I know that going into this match, we have some serious injuries on both sides. According to my information that I have, we have Aaron Ramsey out and Hector Bellerin on one side. But the key is Callum Hudson-Odoi is going to be out of this one. Ruben Loftus-Cheek tears his Achilles over in a friendly here in the United States. Antonio Rudiger is going to be out. N'Golo Kante is also rumored to be out. So where do you see this match going?
It's a funny one because if all the players were fit, guys, I would have gone wholeheartedly with Chelsea. But because of these players that are out, I think that Well, lucky that Hazard was still playing, and I think that I agree with Roberto. I think that it's going to probably be like a send-off, as they say. This move to Real Madrid is imminent and only a couple of weeks away, so I think he's going to turn up and give the fans something to remember him by. But I'm just worried that if Arsenal were to start Torreira and Xhaka with Kante out, I think that they might be able to boss it in centre or midfield. And if Aubameyang plays anything like he did in the second leg against Valencia, I think Arsenal might just have enough to be able to take this, you know.
I agree. Jack, I want to come over to you and get your thoughts on the match itself as well. You know, because obviously, like I said, the injury is coming up. Also, one thing we didn't include is the distraction of Maurizio Sarri possibly being close with a move to Juventus to take over from Max Allegri there. So how much do those external factors weigh in for you on this?
And yeah, I think regardless of the external factors that happen, that Chelsea will always have distractions. They've always had some level of drama within their camp. And I think Arsenal on their day versus Chelsea on their day, Arsenal will beat them. It's just in the league, it's the consistency in the away form that's let them down. I think in a final, in a one-off game, Arsenal will give it more. I think Arsenal will, they'll probably press them a lot, get in behind a lot. They've got two strikers that will absolutely hurt that Chelsea defence. So yeah, I reckon Arsenal will come out victorious in that one, unfortunately.
So I think we're all under the same camp. I think this one's going to be a close one. In general, I do think the Sarri distraction is one thing, and it's probably going to be a small thing, but I think it will be there for the team going forward. The Eden Hazard to Real Madrid distraction might probably be a little bit of a problem as well. Losing N'Golo Kante, if that is accurate, is going to be a massive loss for them in terms of controlling the midfield, because it's going to leave a lot more weight on Jorginho's shoulders. I feel like at this point it's going to be something where Rudiger is a better defender for me than David Luiz, and you don't know what you're going to get out of the striker position past Eden Hazard. Maybe Gonzalo Higuain comes to form for one match, who knows, but I feel like this could ultimately become Arsenal's trophy at the end, but I think the match will be rather close, and it'll be interesting to see how that midfield shapes up. So let's move on to the topic at hand, and that is the Champions League final coming up on Saturday. Two huge teams here. Tottenham Hotspur gets in, you know, with a massive run through the Champions League, an unexpected run, beating Manchester City to get there. And on the other side of the table, we have Liverpool, who overturns a goal deficit to Barcelona to get into the second Champions League final in a row. Dan, I'm gonna go to you first from the Liverpool's perspective, especially if you want to talk about the lineups, what you're concerned with, what you feel is going to work for them for the tournament, for the final itself.
I'm hoping, you know what, guys, I actually wished that the final was played closer to the end of the Premier League season, because I think with the amount of time that there's been between the last game of the season and the Champions League final, that will be 3 weeks on Saturday when the final's played, or 2 weeks and 6 days if you want to be precise with it. And I think the momentum that Liverpool had, I think that if the final was played, because it's been a week later than it usually is, I think that with that, I think Liverpool would have been in good rhythm. But this amount of time has allowed Tottenham to definitely have Moussa Sissoko fit. Harry Kane ran on the pitch after they made their wonderful comeback against Ajax, so he'll be fit. So I think that has favoured Tottenham in that aspect there. And though being a Liverpool fan and we beat them home and away in the league, it's a one-off game of final when anything can happen. And I just feel at the moment, Tottenham might be feeling quite confident that they can actually do something here. I mean, after that comeback, though Liverpool had a great comeback on their own 24 hours later, there shouldn't be anything for them to fear at the end of the day. And Liverpool have been away in Marbella, I believe, doing some warm weather training. And they played a friendly, because they didn't want to be rusty, they played a friendly against Benfica's B team. They won it 3-0. But last time they did some warm weather training, they came back and they looked sluggish, weirdly enough, even though they had a break because they got knocked out of the FA Cup. So I'm just hoping that those factors don't affect things, and I hope Liverpool could just go out there and get the job done. A lot depends on the midfield, though, because Naby Keita apparently is fit now. So it all depends on the names that Klopp picks And it all depends on the names that Klopp picks at the end of the day in the midfield. I hope he goes with Fabinho and Henderson, definitely. Then I don't mind if it's Keita or Wijnaldum that he slips in there, just as long as the midfield is not Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner, because that there's not enough creativity in that midfield.
So, Jack, I want to kind of come over to you for the same question and to kind of play off of Dan's thoughts on the Liverpool back line, because from a Tottenham perspective, you know, right now from what I'm seeing, the projected lineup in the midfield is Jordan Henderson, Fabinho, and Georgie Wijnaldum. You know, you wonder about Naby Keita. Currently, right now, he's being listed as injured. How do we feel Mauricio Pochettino will combat that with his lineup, especially in the midfield?
So I reckon what we'll do is we'll probably, obviously, Soko's been our main man of the season. He hasn't put in any performances below a 7 out of 10. I reckon you have to play your best players, regardless of what position you're in. And I think Eriksen will have to drop deep in that midfield, along with Sissoko, and with Dele Alli behind the striker. I reckon Kane will start. I reckon he won't be too sentimental about having Lucas, or whether to play Lucas or not. I think one of them will be dropped. So I think, I reckon Eriksen, Sissoko, Dele in that midfield to try and come back, to try and play on the counter. You're going to have pace up front. And just let... Ultimately, the team that relinquishes possession is the team that's more likely to be dangerous. And if we try and keep the ball, and if we try and hold on to it, that will play into Liverpool's hands. We've seen that at Wembley earlier in the season when they beat us 2-1. Every time we lost the ball, Liverpool looked like they could score. So we're going to have to switch up a little bit.
You know, I guess I'll jump in as well, heading into, you know, the main storylines, especially looking up front. Obviously, I'll go to you first, Dan, in regards to Liverpool, because obviously the attack that they have is sensational when you look at players like Roberto Firmino, Mohamed Salah. You know, they're trying to combine well. And I think, of course, Sadio Mane as well. They'll be the ones that will be the main focus on the attack for Liverpool. But, you know, how do you think Jurgen Klopp is going to try to utilize them at its best heading into this important Champions League final? What is your take on how they'll be utilized perfectly in such a tough game?
That's a great question, Rob, because Jad said in regards to Tottenham, there's not going to be any sentimental issues here, and he's going to start Origi because Origi fired us to the final. I think what he might do is, because I'm not sure whether or not Tottenham are going to go with three or four at the back, he might switch it up. There's been a few games when, rather than play the orthodox 4-3-3 that got us through the 17-18 season, he might play either Firmino behind Salah and Mane, or he might play Mane and Firmino behind Salah. So go for 2-1 up top rather than the 3 spread, and then Salah coming off with the right onto his left foot, Mane coming off with the left onto his right. So I think he might try second guess Tottenham there and go with that. And then maybe then if it doesn't work, then change the shape of the team. But Firmino is so important to the squad, because some people say, oh, Liverpool would do better if they had an orthodox, a normal number 9. But he starts to press. He's so vital to the team. And we saw in the first game against Barcelona in the semi, Firmino was out. So he tried to change the formation. And at times, Wijnaldum was the furthest player forwards, and it didn't work. Though in the second half, Liverpool had some chances. Overall, it didn't work, and Barcelona were able to go and get the win. So he may switch up, and with Salah, if he does, he might go for, I'd probably say Salah up the top. But then the way that Salah drags defenders out, the way Sadio Mane can then get in there centrally as well, and that's what it's all about. As Jack said, when we played them at Wembley, in the first game that we won 2-1, the 2-1 flattered Tottenham. Liverpool had lots of chances, but Keita was wasteful, Salah was wasteful, and Mane was wasteful. If Liverpool can take their chances, then it will be interesting to see how Tottenham react, because then space will open up. But if they don't, and it goes on, and maybe it's 0-0, 1-1, then unfortunately, I think it might favour Tottenham. But the front three are going to be really important, so it'll be interesting to see what Klopp does. I've got a feeling he's going to go for a lone man and then the two behind, rather than the three spread out.
Definitely. Now, you know, Jack, I mean, I'll jump in here as well and talk about the other side of the attack from Liverpool. I'm sorry, from Spurs. Obviously, we can mention Heung-Min Son's 20 goals in the whole season. Lucas Moura's 15 goals in the entire season as well. And that's only second fiddle to Harry Kane, who scored 24 despite being injured. But having said that, how important do you see Heung-Min Son and Lucas Moura? Because they've been sensations in this Champions League for Spurs. And I think will be very, very important heading into this Champions League final. But, you know, how important will they be? And also, with the status of Harry Kane, many people have said that had Spurs made the final, that the status of Harry Kane's availability will be skyrocketed tremendously. You know, does he see the pitch? You know, does he see the bench? Where do you see Harry Kane's status heading into this Champions League final?
I think Harry Kane will start. I reckon this is a Champions League final. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity for many of these players. It's not like the Liverpool players where they played in one last year and they could play in one next year. They're that good of a side. They're that good of a unit. We're not. And you have to play your best players. Harry Kane is a world-class striker. He's one of the best strikers in the world. We don't have many of the best players in their position in the world in our squad, apart from Harry Kane. He has to start. I think Lucas and Son, they stepped up, yeah. They played against a very naive defensive unit in Ajax. And I think the introduction of Llorente in that second half as well really helped their cause. He held up the ball. The pace of Lucas in particular, he was able to make runs off him, and De Ligt can handle Llorente. Whereas with Liverpool, they've got players like Van Dijk in there who will easily deal with that. And so we'd have to play in a different style. We'd have to, obviously, what I said earlier about playing on the break, we'd have to utilise it in a different way. We'd have to get Eriksen deep in those positions to try and play those balls through, because that midfield battle, Liverpool will be winning that. 100%. We're not, our midfield is weak the entire season. We've had teams like Fulham, West Ham dominate us at home in midfield. So we'd have to bypass that. We had to bypass their press as well a lot of the time and go straight to attack and use Sissoko's energy to connect that defence to attack, to run with the ball. And yeah, that's our only way of really getting at Liverpool's back line. And right. It's something to look forward to, basically.
Absolutely. Now, Dan, I mean, you know, this has obviously been a wonderful season for Liverpool, you know, to go into two competitions almost all the way in that sense. It is unfortunately bittersweet that they did miss out on that Premier League title, which I think would have been much more important to win than this Champions League. But, you know, at the same time, they are at this Champions League final. And, you know, rightly so, as the most successful English team in European competition, you know, they have the right to earn themselves much more clout in a way and become more successful. But having said that, you know, what is the perception, I think, of this season heading into this Champions League final, you know, after everything that has been said about the season of, you know, missing out on a Premier League title at the end of the season? You know, what is the perception, especially if they do on and go on and actually win the trophy in Madrid?
Rob, is a weird one. The fan base, to an extent, is split a little. Some people say that because of the points total, it's one of the best Premier League teams ever, though they didn't win it, and there should be no hard feelings. We lost to just a team that were better than us in Manchester City. Whereas some others look at it as though the squad is relatively young compared to some other teams, that this was the window to get the championship, and the likes of Tottenham will improve, Man United will improve, Arsenal will improve, Chelsea will improve. So it won't be as easy. Well, not that it was easy, but they won't be able to hit that points total. Whereas the likes of City, Liverpool are not going to spend frivolously. So the likes of Manchester City, you're hearing they might get Bruno Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon. You're hearing they might get Rodri from Atletico Madrid. So they're already, they've won the league and they're looking to bring in big money players. Whereas Liverpool, you're hearing, oh, they're not going to spend that much unless they can bring in lots of they can bring in a lot of money for some of the deadwood at the club. So it's split. Some fans are happy with the season thus far, and obviously the cherry on top will be the title. Some feel that and it sounds crazy because it's the big European competition that it is, that it's a little bit of slight consolation to come this close to winning the league after 29 years and to fall up short when you've only lost one game. It's unbelievable. Liverpool have lost one match and people are sitting there saying, oh, we drew too many games. I only drew 7. Teams have won the league on numerous occasions during double figure matches. So some are happy, some aren't, but at the end of the day, they have to get this European Cup, but you can't be complacent. Some people are really complacent and they think that it's going to be easy to beat Tottenham. It's really not. One-off game, anything can happen. And we should know that more than anyone, an AC Milan side in 2005 that were far superior to Liverpool, we beat them on penalties after coming from 3-0 down. So, you know, even last year, to flip it, Real Madrid are better than Liverpool with Cristiano Ronaldo there last season. But because of mistakes by the goalkeeper, Liverpool came out of the game and were beaten when it was a pretty even tie if you take Karius's mistakes out. So Liverpool cannot afford to take anything for granted, but it's a hard one to evaluate the season. We'll have to, they have to win this cup. It's been 7 years since they won a trophy, full stop. They have to win the Champions League. But it's kind of taken a back seat because of what has happened with the league campaign. So it's an awkward one to call.
Now, obviously, Jack, heading into the Spurs perspective, we have to look at this season as, you know, one of the best seasons, I mean, in Spurs history. I mean, to be in a group with Barcelona, Inter, and PSV at the start of the group stage, where everyone assumed that it would be Inter that would actually be qualifying to the knockout stage of the Champions League and Spurs heading into the Europa League, and then going as underdogs in the ties against Dortmund, Manchester City, and Ajax, heading to all the way to the final against Liverpool without having to spend a single dime. You know, it boggles me. It's incredible. I mean, you know, what is the perception there in Spurs? And of course, what would be the reaction, you know, from all of the Spurs fan base and then even London itself, if they do win this Champions League final? And obviously we'll get to predictions in a bit, but if they do win it, and, you know, unfortunately, if they don't win it, you know, how will this be perceived back in North London?
Well, a lot of our fans are saying that if we did spend money and invested in the squad, we would have done better in the league. But we probably wouldn't have made this Champions League final. I think the close-knit tightness of the squad itself has made us, you know, tying the group of, you know, squad of players together. It's made them believe more. It's made them work a little more during these Champions League games. Gave them belief. And I think the Pochettino factor is massive. As far as potentially us winning it, listen, us first, we had, there was a little poll saying, would you take the Champions League if it meant Pochettino left straight away? Almost everyone said, yeah, 100%. If Pochettino left and we won the Champions League, Pochettino leaves, that's it. We'll take that. We don't care. That's it. Football's done. We've seen it all, pretty much. But having said that, a lot of us are still very frustrated at Daniel Levy not spending a single penny. What could have been in the league, at least, if we actually invested the same amount of money Liverpool did? Because I reckon if we did, you know, cover all the gaps that Liverpool had last season, if we did the same thing as them, we would have been challenging for the title as well. I think we've got a better man-for-man, or pound-for-pound, a better manager in Pochettino than Liverpool. And, if we do, I can't believe we're in the Champions League. I just can't. None of us can believe we're in the Champions League final still. It hasn't sunk into any of us yet. Little old Tottenham Hotspur, from where we were at White Hart Lane to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, potentially bringing home the biggest trophy in world football, in club world football at least. All of us are in disbelief. Like, we can't. It hasn't sunk into any of us yet.
So I'm going to jump in here real quick because I want to take the focus over to a different aspect, and that is the goalkeeping aspect. And the two goalkeepers we have in this particular tournament or in this particular final are possibly two of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League and arguably two of the best goalkeepers in the world. We look at Hugo Lloris coming off a World Cup win with France, and then we look at Alisson Becker, who has really carried two teams deeply into this tournament, last year doing it with Roma, and now this year back with Liverpool, and many would say that this is the piece that Liverpool needed compared to last year's team that that should get them over the hump. You know, we remember the Loris Karius howlers that we saw in the finals last year. So I'm going to go, Dan, to you first. From the Liverpool perspective about Alisson Becker, what do you feel, how much of an upgrade do you feel he has been over the previous goalkeepers in Liverpool? And how does he compare to his counterpart across the pitch in Lloris?
Alisson, guys, Joe, Alisson has been, he's been a magnificent signing. I was really upset when Coutinho left because I know how good he is, but he basically helped fund this buy, so... thanks for that, Phil. But now without his save against Napoli in the last group game, we wouldn't even be here. We would have been out. We would have been booked into the Europa League. It was a huge save, and he's done that a lot this season. The only thing, he's all round a top goalkeeper. He has everything. The only thing that he annoys me with is that obviously we preach the whole playing out from the back thing, and sometimes he dwells on the ball a little too long. So as long as he gets more comfortable knocking it long, then that will be absolutely fine. Because sometimes you have to. When you've got someone bearing down on you, you can't dwell on the ball. You just got to hoof it up the pitch. But otherwise, apart from that, a complete goalkeeper, and he will make a difference. A lot of people have said, if he was in goal last year, that Liverpool would have beaten Real Madrid. That's how much of an upgrade he is to carry us. He obviously made an error, thrown it out to Benzema, and then obviously made a mistake again on Gareth Bale's second goal. But he's a top keeper, one of the best about Lloris as well. Lloris is a really good keeper as well, but I just think the last couple of years he's not been the same goalkeeper that he was. And if out of the two there was to be one that was more likely to make a mistake, it would probably be Lloris in this final. I just don't know. I'm not sure whether he got too comfortable. I don't know if it's complacency or what, but whether it be his footwork, whether it be catching crosses and being as dominant, he's just not the same keeper that he was a few years ago. Normally when those other things happen, you think a player needs a new challenge or something like that. But with him being Tottenham's captain as well, that's not going to be happening anytime soon. So the defence have to protect him well, because Tottenham are usually one of, especially under Pochettino, have been one of the most defensively sound teams in the league. But bar Alderweireld this season, they've been really up and down. They've been quite bipolar. So they're going to need the defence to be on form, but mainly Lloris if they're going to win this final.
Now, you know, Jack, I want to kind of throw the same question over to you, because both keepers are on their day are incredible goalkeepers. Both of them are fantastic shot stoppers, but both of them, even like Dan alluded to, can be open to the occasional howler. And many times we'll see it with Lloris with his footwork, and on Alisson we'll see it with his feet themselves, where we've seen him kind of fumble and stumble with a ball, which has led to a turnover or something like that. So what's your perspective of Hugo Lloris as your goalkeeper and also the man across the pitch in Alisson Becker?
Hugo Lloris is a very frustrating keeper. One week he will want you to get rid of him. The next week you'll love him again, and he's the best keeper in the world to us. He is one of the best shot stoppers in the world. Like, let's not, you know, get it twisted. He has saved us on so many occasions. He saved us so many points. Without him, obviously, we wouldn't have gone out of that group. That save against PSG that he made, save them onto the post against Inter. He will win you loads of points, but also at the same time, what we've discussed before, he'll also cost you points. And it balances out ultimately at the end of the day. And we're very split on Hugo Lloris as a fan base, and I think we'll always forgive him when he does save us. We're very bipolar in terms of that. As far as Alisson goes, I reckon he's a very solid keeper. He's a very, you know, very decent with his feet, decent distribution, good shot stopper. Again, without him, Liverpool would have gone out of the group, like you said. But I haven't seen enough of him to say he's the best in the world, or one of the best in the world, like some Liverpool fans have claimed. I've seen it on Twitter. I've heard Liverpool fans make that claim before. But definitely a solid keeper, definitely a good addition. But I think having a super, super solid defence ahead of him does help. And again, Hugo Lloris, what Dan's saying earlier, Hugo Lloris does have to be at his very, 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 very best for us to stand any chance. Our defence has been up and down, unlike Liverpool's, who've been absolutely rock solid. I think our midfield doesn't really protect our back line a lot. And on set pieces, we have been pretty shambolic. We conceded that last-minute goal against Inter earlier. We conceded against PSV, conceded against Ajax with Trippier marking De Ligt. So, yeah, having a not-so-great defence this season and being absolutely shambolic on set pieces hasn't helped us, hasn't helped Hugo Lloris's cause as well. But if we're solid, if we're tight as a unit, and Hugo Lloris doesn't have to do as much as he normally do, then I reckon he should be fine not to make a mistake. But then again, he cost us that game against Liverpool as well, ironically, Anfield. So he will see. I just hope that he's got the level of focus that you need in the final.
No doubt about it. Now, Rob, I want to come to you with a similar form of this question, given sort of the neutral perspective. With these two keepers, are either of them able of winning the match or losing the match, like we saw with Karius last year? Are either of them capable of making either that big of a howler or that massive of a play that would actually turn a match around for one of their teams?
I think it's tough. I think I'm more leaning to no. I don't think there'll be that big of a deciding factor in which like one of them makes a mistake that would end up deciding a team's victory. No, I don't see that at all. I think if you would have to pick one or the other, I think you would have to pick Alisson just because of his consistency, just because of the way that he plays as a great goalkeeper that he is. I think he's the one that you would have to be much more confident when dealing with, you know, vital saves and, you know, dealing with clean sheets and whatnot. I mean, to keep 21 clean sheets in the Premier League is incredible. And I think he's the one that you would have to rely on. Also, he's younger than Hugo Lloris, so you would have to put on him more of the reliance. But I think when you look at these two on the pitch in Madrid, I don't think any of them will be crucially going to make a mistake that will decide, a Champions League final, something like Karius did last year. No, I don't see that. I think it'll be all down to the other 10 players on the pitch that could decide this. But having said that, let's finish it up here with the defense. Dan, I'll go to you first, because it's been great seeing this defense from Liverpool, you know, to see the likes of players, like, as you mentioned, Virgil van Dijk, who is arguably considered the best center back in the world, or even defender in the world, if you believe the pundits. You know, you have players like Andrew Robertson, that has been great, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, a sensation when you look at him playing in the fullback position. You know, out of all these players that you look at the defense of Liverpool, who's the one that's going to be super vital in order to steer up the defense and to try to keep the attack of Kane, Heung-Min Son, Lucas Moura up to bay?
Yeah, it has to be Van Dijk, because for all Liverpool's, like, the clean sheets, etc., that have been done this season, Alisson, what I will give him the rating for is his levels of concentration, because sometimes the defence has done so well, there's only been small periods of the game where he's actually had to be active and on his toes. Van Dijk is the organiser. He's even made Dejan Lovren look half decent this season, and he should have left Liverpool a long time ago. I think he's good personality for the dressing room, and the fact he's best mates with Mo Salah is part of the reason why he's even still at the club. So yeah, it's Van Dijk because he organises, but also as well, Andy Robertson charging up on the left is going to be important, because you know what you're going to get from Trent. Sometimes doesn't position himself greatly when he's defending, but you know, going forward, because he used to play in the midfield, he's going to get crosses into the box, he's going to slide balls in. But if Kieran Trippier starts at right back, he has been, I had a little pop at Hugo Lloris earlier, but Trippier has been more of a liability to Tottenham in more games than Hugo Lloris has this season, because as Jack pointed out, he's made numerous saves, Lloris, even if he's had made mistakes in, to keep Tottenham in it. Otherwise, they would have gone out a long time ago, even against Dortmund. Tottenham were under the cosh, but they played probably the best second half of the tournament in the first leg at Wembley for them to go through. So if Robertson can get at Trippier, that is going to create space, and then that's going to pull Tottenham's defenders over. I mean, you all know Robertson's got decent delivery, a lot of assists, double-figure assists in the league this season to get the balls in. So I would say definitely Van Dijk, but Robertson's going to be just as vital, because his stamina, his energy levels going back and forth, his tenacity, can really cause some problems to the right side of Tottenham's defence.
No, definitely. You know, Jack, I mean, I'll ask the same question to you. When you're dealing with players like Davinson Sanchez, you know, Trippi, as you said, but you have Vertonghen, you have Danny Rose, you know, Ben Davis, you have all those type of players that are being so important for this team. Vertonghen, Alderweireld, I mean, you know, who do you pinpoint as to be that one deciding factor that are hoping to, you know, keep Liverpool's attack at bay in this final in Madrid?
As a centre-back pairing, this Alderweireld, Vertonghen, they... Without them, it could be a long night. Davinson Sanchez is very young still. He's 22, 23. He has a mistake in him. As good as he's been for a long, long part of the season, he does still have a mistake in him because he's young and naive. I would start Aurier at right back, but I think Trippier will start. Aurier hasn't played for the past couple of months now. But Trippier has cost us way. He cost us the first two goals against Ajax. He's cost us way too much this season, and it's just been way too much. We're looking to offload him, thankfully. So hopefully he'll be gone by the summer. But yeah, Dan's talking about Andy Robertson running at Trippier. I'm way more worried about Mane running at Trippier because Mane will be licking his lips at the prospect of running, like having the ball up against him. Trippier defensively has been shocking. Going forward, he hasn't been great either. He's normally a very, very good crosser of the ball, but Liverpool are definitely going to target our right-hand side. So we're going to have to put Moussa Sissoko on the right-hand side of the central midfield to protect him. So yeah, that will be what Liverpool will target. So we'd have to make sure Sissoko is on point because to answer your original question, as good as Vertonghen and Alderweireld need to be, Moussa Sissoko will be our key player. He's been our best player all season. He's going to have to protect our biggest liability in Kieran Trippier. And also, he's going to have to bring the ball into play for the forwards. So he has to use his engine very well.
No, absolutely. Now, talking about futures, you kind of aforementioned it there. I'm going to keep it to you here, Jack. And we're going to talk about Mauricio Pochettino. I mean, you know, obviously the Argentine has been a sensation here at the Spurs, you know, being very praised for his, you know, his high pressing attacking style of football, you know, even very praised for his man management approach and his guidance to, you know, to encourage players to be more improved on physical, technical, and mental standards. You know, the fact that he's just so willing to use young local players from the academies and try to have a willingness to promote, you know, young players in general. I mean, his reputation is still going to be in question doing the part that even though he has done so well with the Spurs side, he has failed to win a title yet. Obviously, his best chance happens here in Madrid on Saturday. But having said that, you know, what do you see Mauricio Pochettino in the long term after this final, win or loss? Do you see him staying at Spurs because of the ambition that he could actually do in perhaps going for a Premier League title or a domestic title? Or do you see that after everything that he's done, after everything he's been creating, the base with this type of team, does he go for the next? And, of course, the reputation that he has been, in a way, his value skyrocketing even more over the last few years. You know, do you see him going for bigger opportunities, maybe not just in England, but perhaps elsewhere in Europe?
Pochettino is looking at this as a project, as a long-term vision, a long-term project. He's had discussions with Daniel Levy, who, you've got to remember, Pochettino is one of the highest-paid managers in the world. He is the biggest asset to Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Without him, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be having up the trajectory that could do. The value of the club wouldn't be as high as it is without Pochettino. So he has to be backed. Now, Pochettino he throws a little few threats every now and then at press conferences, like sort of indirect jibes to Daniel Levy, saying, you know, what he said about, oh, if I win the Champions League, I'll leave. You know, it's just, it was a bit of sarcasm, there was a bit of humour in there involved, but there's a little bit of seriousness there as well. He has to be back this summer. The failure to back him last summer was an absolute disgrace, in my opinion. But if he's not back this summer, he is the first manager that, under Daniel Levy's chairmanship, to have earned the right to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions. No other Tottenham manager has earned that right. So that has to happen. If he doesn't do that, if he isn't back, then he could very well possibly go. And I wouldn't blame him one bit. And I don't think any of us are going to blame him one bit either. He has high ambitions, and I just hope the club matches those ambitions, or else that's it. He'll be fed up.
Definitely. Now, heading into the other side is Jurgen Klopp, also a sensation at this Liverpool side, you know, ever since you're joining the team. Also, with the reputation of not winning major finals, if you recall correctly, you know, going to three major European finals since 2013, you know, losing the Champions League final with Dortmund, losing the Europa League final with Liverpool, and, of course, the Champions League final last season. So it's going to be hard to dispute the fact that he's just been a sensation for Liverpool so far. Dan, and credit to him as well, but I feel like that, just like in Pochettino's case, you know, he does need a trophy in order to reassert his reputation in English football as, you know, one of the best managers in history, I would say. But obviously, right now, that can't be doubted at this current stage. But, you know, what is your take on Jurgen Klopp and, you know, his future at the club if they do fail to win this Champions League, or even if they do win it as well? You know, do you see him sticking around and trying to look at this ambition, which now, if they do win it, you know, the main ambition will be now to win this Premier League title that they failed to do so this season. So what is the perception, I guess, now made on Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool at this moment, Dan?
Yeah, at the moment, the fans feel that Klopp is the perfect manager for the job. His passion for the game seems to match the fan base, but that is all good on one hand. On the other hand, you have to get, there has to be a token, if you would like, of, in the selling point, rather, in regards to his reign and his tenure. So therefore, you need the trophy. In his first season, Liverpool lost in the League Cup final to Manchester City, and they lost in the Europa League final to Sevilla. Then obviously they lost in the Champions League final to Real Madrid. So, and then obviously if we go back, as you just said, to the Dortmund days, he lost his last couple of finals there too. So realistically, he needs to win something, and I hope he can do this with the Champions League, because then I do feel that that could be the start of a sense of, I think Liverpool can dominate to a certain extent within the next 5 years, because if you look at the squad, the oldest people in it are James Milner, and his contract runs out this summer. I know he wants to finish his career at Leeds, but I don't know if or not he'll sign a year's contract extension or not. And Simon Mignolet is over 32, but he's the backup keeper, and apparently he'll be sold this summer. So if you look at that, the average age of the squad, if you take those two out, is very low. With the experience that they've got, two European finals, going close in the league, if they get that winning mentality, I think they're going to go on to greater things. But Klopp, he needs this win. Just like, though I think Arsenal are going to win Europa, I hope Chelsea win, because I want Sarri to get his first trophy. Klopp obviously has back-to-back league titles in the Bundesliga, but he needs to open his account in England, and then I think he'll go, and that will restore him and jack him right back up there as one of the best managers about.
Right, absolutely. You know, Joe, I mean, simply put it, within these two, when you look at Jurgen Klopp and Mauricio Pochettino, who do you think is under much more pressure to deliver this Champions League trophy?
Oh, you know, if I had to answer that in one word, I think it's Klopp. Seeing that Klopp has been here, this will be his third visit to the Champions League final, once with Dortmund, once with Liverpool last year, and I you can't blame last year's loss on Jurgen Klopp. I think his tactics were correct, but the Sergio Ramos foul on Mo Salah, which knocked him out of the tournament and almost knocked him out of the World Cup, if we remember correctly, between that and the howlers from Loris Karius, I mean, there was nothing a coach could have done differently with that particular perspective. So I think there is more pressure on Jurgen Klopp to return a title to Liverpool, something that he hasn't done yet. But at the same time, you almost feel like Mauricio Pochettino might be in his audition phase for some of these other jobs. You know, we know the Juventus job is open, and although rumors are right now it's going to go to Maurizio Sarri, I think there is still potential that Pochettino could land there as well. Pochettino, for me, if you compared Sarri and Pochettino, as a Juventus fan, Pochettino's a better fit for me for Juventus, especially for the personnel that they have right now. So there could be an opportunity for him to win this Champions League, and then all of a sudden, the Nedveds of the world, you know, move over to North London and make him a massive contract offer. You could easily see that happening. You also see that Barcelona may open up. Barcelona, a massive disappointment this year, returning only one trophy, which is certainly below Barcelona standards. There's been rumors connecting him there as well. So I think this could be some type of in terms of pressure, this could be pressure for Pochettino's next job and his next movement upward on the scale to go to a place like either Juventus or Barcelona. So there is pressure on both coaches, of course. I mean, we're talking about a Champions League final, but I think to win the match, I believe there's a little more pressure under Klopp because he's been to this stage before, and it would be on him to kind of get over that hump and establish himself as one of the absolute elite coaches in world football right now. So, gentlemen, I want to go into the final segment of the program, what we want to talk about, and we're going to kind of move into predictions. But before I do that, I want to get the opposite perspective from you guys. So for Dan, I want your perspective on Tottenham in general and how you feel they could most hurt you. And then, Jack, I want to come to you with the same question in terms of, you know, how you feel about Liverpool and how they can most hurt your team. So, Dan, I'll start with you. When you look at this Tottenham Hotspur, what's the biggest fear you have? What's the one thing that you worry about from this team defeating Liverpool?
Funnily enough, though he's got a few goals against us, my biggest worry with Tottenham is either Son, because of the driving runs that he makes to possibly get in behind if Van Dijk can be taken out of the game, or Eriksen. Because Eriksen, no one in Tottenham's team has Eriksen's passing ability. And if Liverpool are to be the team in the ascendancy for much of the game, Tottenham are going to try to pick Liverpool off. And the person that can unlock us would be Eriksen with a through ball or a decent flighted set piece or anything like that. So I would say, Eriksen for his delivery and creativity, or I would say Son for his driving runs, because we also in the game at Anfield, when Sissoko was bearing down on goal, Van Dijk managed to block the pass to Son, hold that up until Robertson came back, and then luckily for us, Sissoko drove it over. So I actually think we're as scared of Son as we are with Kane, if not more. Kane will drop deep. He used to play a lot as a number 10 in Tottenham's youth side. So he'll drop deep, and Kane's got a good range of pass himself and spread play. So if he can't get in the game, he will drop deep. So it will be the people that can run beyond him. And depending on whether Moura starts the final or not, it will be a Son or Ali to run in behind. So yeah, Son or Eriksen is split for me, who the biggest danger is to us.
And Jack, same question to you. When you look across the pitch at Liverpool, obviously there are many weapons there, but what do you feel is the most dangerous piece that could affect Tottenham in this match?
It depends on the way we play. If we go dive into the suicidal tactics of keeping the ball and not relinquishing possession, then it's obviously going to be that front three of Liverpool's, which, again, what Dan said earlier, flatter to deceive when they beat us 2-1. It could have been 4-5 in that game. If, however, we do change our tactics a little bit, start sitting back, I reckon that midfield battle will be won by them. They clearly have a better midfield than us. They have a much more energetic midfield than us. They can take Eriksen out of the game. They can put a player like Jordan Henderson on Christian Eriksen. They can stop him from playing. And you stop Eriksen from playing, you stop Tottenham from playing. It's as simple as that. He's got 19 assists, 14 goals this entire season, which is, even though he's been off form for a lot of it. So if you stop him, then their front three will have a bit more of the ball. They'll start running at players like Trippier, who I'm pretty sure they'll target. Mane will have a field day in that game, I think. Yeah, so they'll probably switch around as well with Firmino and Mane maybe on that left-hand side a little bit. I'm not sure. Dan will have to correct me on that. But, yeah, Mane is probably the biggest worry for me in that Liverpool attack, regardless of how we play. And if we do sort of sit back, if they stop Eriksen, if they have Henderson on him, because they have such a workhorse, energetic midfield, it's going to be tough. And obviously, when you've got a player like Van Dijk at centre-back, you know, it's... They are a very complete team, Liverpool. I think they're a more complete starting 11 than Man City, because Man City's backline, I think is sensational. They're protected by the style of play in their pressing game. But Liverpool definitely, there's threats everywhere, and Sadio Mane is probably the scariest player.
I was going to say, your thoughts on Manchester City have been my thoughts on them for quite a while now, so I definitely agree with you. So, final thing, I want to ask, so obviously Rob and I are complete neutrals in this match. We don't have a dog in the fight, but you two gentlemen certainly are going to be on pins and needles come Saturday at 3 p.m. Local time for us. So my question to both you gentlemen is, and Jack, I'm going to start with you first. I'd like your fans' prediction for a final score, and I'd like what you realistically, or if you had to make yourself a neutral, what you think the final score will be.
As a fan, I would say a very open game. There'll be goals on either side. A 2-2 draw going into extra time and us winning on penalties. Hugo Lloris saving the day. He has saved his last three penalties, by the way. Mm. But being realistic, this is a side that's beaten us twice already. This is a side that's 20-odd points better than us in the league. This is a side that's much, much more complete in every position. The only thing we've got going for us, logically, is our belief and heart and desire and work rate that we've shown in comebacks against Barcelona, against Ajax, and the way we played against Man City, particularly at home. It could be, if Liverpool get an early goal, it could be a very long night. But Liverpool are a better side than us. And if you're neutral, you would say something like a 2-1, 3-1 Liverpool win.
Dan, same question to you. You know, pulling yourself out and trying to be a neutral and also giving us, from the fans' perspective, what your fan prediction would be for this match.
Right. Yeah. As a, I'll do the fan one first, because that's the easier one to do. As a fan, I'm thinking that, I'm hoping more rather that we'll be on it and we'll be positive and assertive from the start. But what I will give in credit to Tottenham is that in the last two times they've come to Anfield, especially last season's 2-2 draw when Kane got the penalty at the end of level, Tottenham had about a 20-minute period of the game where they passed the ball really well from left to right and Liverpool couldn't get it. But that was a league game. With this being a one-off final, I think that if we allow Tottenham to have the possession, they might be more under threat to us hitting them on the counter, as Jack has just pointed out, with the pace of the front three. So I think if we're on game as a fan, I'd say we can edge it 2-1. But if I'm given the realistic outcome with all the stuff I said earlier on, the aforementioned stuff about the training camp, the warm weather, almost a 3-week break between the end of the Premier League season and this year, I think Tottenham, with the heart and desire that Jack has pointed to that they have, that means a lot in finals. Mm-hmm. And if their support is on it and they can, because Liverpool were here last year and Liverpool, of course, have won the tournament, been to Europa League finals and whatnot. So their fans are more used to it. So it's almost as though they might come with an airness of complacency, because you're not going to get the same support that you did when you're at Anfield that's going to be able to go here because of the lack of ticket allocation, etc. So in that in mind, if Tottenham play with that desire, take their chances, I think we're probably looking at extra time and then it's anybody's game. Wow. So you might get a penalty shootout or you might get a dramatic late winner in extra time or something like that. And then in that response there, it's anybody's game. But my fan hat on, we'll do the job within 90 minutes. But I've got a funny feeling it's going to go extra time. It might even be penalties.
You gentlemen both have very, very exciting finishes to this 18-19 European season, that's for sure. Rob, I'd like your neutral perspective on this match and where you think it will go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting battle when you look at two teams who are going to be really short in the attack, you know, very short in the defense and as well as in goal as well. It's going to be really tough. I just think that because of the advantage that Liverpool have at this moment, the fact that they have more of the, I don't want to say better attack, but perhaps, you know, when you level it out, I think you would have to give Liverpool more of the advantage when you look at everything that has been said about them and the whole season that they've been going through. The fact that they want to get revenge after what happened to them last year against Real Madrid, I think it's their time. I think Liverpool have the destiny pointed out for them. Credit to Spurs, because if they do win this final, I think it would be one of the best ones, best Champions League, European, whatever runs of all time. Just a team that has not spent a dime to go all the way to the Champions League final and to win it against this big, powerful Liverpool side, you would have to give the advantage to them. But I would have to favor Liverpool in this one. I think the attack will be very, very important. I think the defense, when you look at Van Dijk over there trying to boss it up there, I think that's where you're going to see everything be played out for. I don't think it will be a challenge between the goalkeepers. I think it will be a challenge with the defense as well as what you'll see up front in the attack. So I would have to give Liverpool the advantage. I'm going to say 2-1 to Liverpool in extra time.
In extra time. You know, you've almost taken the exact prediction that I have. For me, I wrote down Liverpool 2-1 as well, but I think what we're going to see in this match, as we do see in many finals matches, is we're going to see a very tentative open to this match. I don't feel like this is going to be up and down the pitch like you would expect. Like, let's say if this were Liverpool Ajax, where teams are just, flying up and down the field because they just throw caution to the wind. I feel like this will be much more of a chess match, especially in the first 20 to 25 minutes of the match. So I've written down 2-1 as well, but my caveat is I think these goals come in the second half. I don't think I think when we go into the locker room at halftime, I think it's still 0-0. And I think that finally the teams will start to wear each other down, and it'll be a simple mistake that will open the floodgates. But I think in the end, we'll see 2-1 Liverpool at the end of this. And I don't know, it could go to extra time or not. I definitely see that, because both teams, we don't think about it, both teams are so defensively strong that we could very well see an extra time match. But I think this gets decided in the first 90 minutes, and I see Liverpool 2-1. So, gentlemen, I do thank both of you, Dan and Jack, for joining us and helping us break this down from the fans' perspective. I'm going to go ahead and hit our closing music and get our show closed out here for the night. So, for episode 244 of Low Limit Football, special thanks again to Dan Duamena and Jack Knorr for joining us. Next week, we will actually be off, but enjoy the Champions League match on Saturday at 3 p.m. and the Europa League match on Wednesday at 3 p.m. So for episode 244 of Low Limit Football, I am Joe Uccello.
And I'm Roberto Rojas.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and good night.